but that little thing at the forefront. And just, I'm going to take this minute. Normally Pastor Marcia does the engineering when she's here. Today we have Pete. Shout out to Pete, who's always been here helping us out when we need him. I really thank appreciate
Pete.
That.
Hey, yeah. Thanks, Pete.
No problem, guys. Thanks a lot.
I do want to take a minute to talk about the prayer ministry. Beacon of Hope has a prayer ministry. We encourage people to send us your prayers. Myself, Betty up in Indiana, or Shelb down here in Florida, we pick up those prayers when you send them in. We write a prayer for all our prayer warriors to pray. And, you know, we are people who believe in answered prayer. We have seen it. We have, I keep lists. The only thing I ask when you do send us a prayer request is let us know when God answers it. Because I do keep track of all those. We keep track on Sunday morning. I keep track on, you know, with the emails. But you can send your requests to prayers at bohmglobal.com. That's PRAYERS at bohmglobal.com. And don't think your prayer's too small, too big, too mediocre. You know, we'll pray for anybody, honestly. We love to pray. So, and also, if you'd like to be a part of our prayer team, you can email me, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com. Let me know your interest. I'll put you on our prayer team list. Okay? So, praise God. Hard to believe again that it's been an hour already. But we've been talking about a number of things, but getting ready for the Lord's second coming and some of the signs Paul talks about. And one of them is the apostasy that we talked about last hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Antichrist, as he calls him, the man of lawlessness, and what exactly that means. We'll kind of touch on that. But I want to start the second hour with another really good song by Unspoken called Start a Fire.
That it's you.
like that song, mm-hmm. Start a Fire. Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's kind of what we were talking about in the first hour with Lauren Daigle's song about the dry bones and just kind of what we were talking about, you know, how sometimes we have wandered away from the Lord. You know, sometimes we, you know, that's, I think that's why Paul told Timothy, fan into flame the gift that's inside of you. You know, keep that fire going.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
So, you know, people are being perhaps exposed today to teaching that they've never really heard before. But it's there, and it's godly, and it's truthful, and the Word backs it up. And they didn't realize they have it available, but they have it available. I can compare that to what I just learned about my computer. It's got a touch screen. I went to touch it.
And how long have you had that computer, Nan?
Over a year. Well, actually, more like a year and a half. Almost two, actually.
Nan got a new revelation on her computer.
I went to just to touch something on the screen, and the screen moved. I'm like, cool. And I noticed at the bottom they have this little sticker of what it has, and one of them was, adding clarity with HD touch screen. And, you know, that's the way it is like with the people. We have the Word is here for them. They just have to reach out and get it. Mm-hmm. The message is being shared today. You just have to reach out and get it.
And if you want to reach out and get it, the podcast is up already for the 1 hour of Living the Good Life.
Amen.
There you go. Pete. Amen to you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's so true. It's here, and it's like getting new revelation, a new discovery.
A new discovery, yes.
About your computer, and sometimes the Word itself. Okay, and I'll give you a little bit of my testimony right here. I grew up spiritually on Hal Lindsey and Salem Kerbin, and for those of you who don't know who they are, I shall explain. Mm-hmm. I believe Hal Lindsey still maybe has a show on TBN, but Hal Lindsey wrote The Late Great Planet Earth, which was kind of the prophetic Bible, I mean, in my day, 45 years ago. And also Salem Kerbin wrote these fictional books called 666 and 1000. 666 about the Antichrist and the second coming of Jesus, 1000 about the millennium. And I actually read all three of those before I got saved. And God put it in my heart, a great love for Bible prophecy. And that's actually what brought me to Jesus. I mean, you know, was Bible prophecy. But my point is, I had to be stretched a little bit, mm-hmm. because I went to a church where their doctrine, Hal Lindsey is pre-trib, saying Jesus is going to come back 7 years before the actual end of time, before the actual end of the age, to rapture the church out. That's what Hal Lindsey believes. You've probably seen that in all those Tim LaHaye books and those movies.
Left Behind.
Thank you, the Left Behind series. Now, the preacher of the church I was going to, however, he was post-trib. And I remember one, and here I am. I mean, I'm only like 2 years old in the Lord, or 3 years old in the Lord. And here's this man who's been serving the Lord for years and years and years, was in Salvation Army. Was part of actually the Latter Rain movement. He was a young man back then, but he was in the Latter Rain movement back in the late 40s and early 50s. And here I am challenging him. What was I thinking? You know, I'm saying, well, you can't be right. You can't be right. This is just not right. How can you say we're going to be here? But as happened actually with me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God said, just look at the scriptures. Just look at the scriptures. And sure enough, you know, I changed my views. But again, it's one of those growth things. We have to be willing. I mean, I know people who would break fellowship if you didn't believe the same thing about the rapture as they did. They'd break fellowship with you. It's like, okay, my thought is, I'd love it if we were raptured out of here at the beginning. But I want to be ready in case we're not. So,
yeah.
And this, you know, this verse here in 2 Thessalonians is one of the reasons I think it's not going to happen before. It says, first of all, the apostasy has to come, and then the Antichrist has to be revealed, who will oppose and exalt himself above every so-called God, take a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So remember, the whole thing that Paul was getting at was the day of the Lord has not come yet. Because I love this next verse. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you of these things? It's like, come on, people, wake up. He talks about then in verse 6, the restrainer. And there's all sorts of theories on what's restraining the rise of the Antichrist. Some say it's the church, the Holy Spirit. Personally, I don't see how the church in its kind of anemic state can really be doing that. But, you know, some people said it was the Roman Empire, whatever. Paul knew, and apparently the Thessalonians knew. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but something is restraining him. And in verse 7, I like this. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You know, that sounds kind of out there. But, you know, there are several mysteries in the Bible, and this is one of them, the mystery of lawlessness. Once the restrainer, whoever that is or whatever that is taken out of the way, then the Antichrist will be fully revealed. It's very possible that that the restrainer is government systems, since the Antichrist will be ahead of a government. You know, very well could be government systems. This is just my theory. Y'all can chime in at any time. But as the world heads toward chaos, and we've seen it. We've seen it with populist presidential candidates who tend to tap into something, you know. And the Antichrist will be a master at that. If you read, especially in the book of Daniel, chapters 10 and 11, you know, the Antichrist is a master of intrigue. So, you know, he'll intrigue his way into this. And it says in verse 9, whose coming is in accord with the activities of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Well, what did Jesus warn about in Matthew chapter 24? Don't be deceived. Mm-hmm. People are going to perform signs, but they're not going to be for me. And this is a prophetic warning. Just because you see a miracle happen does not necessarily mean it's from the Lord. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus say? Beware of what?
False doctrine, false miracles, false.
Okay, think animals here. Beware of blanks in blank clothing.
Oh, sheep and lions in sheep's clothing.
Wolves in sheep's clothing, yes. Because he says you'll know the tree by its fruit.
That's true.
You look at, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, I can, well, and Paul says, you know, the famous love chapter, I can perform miracles, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. And obviously, the Antichrist will not have that. He who sets himself up in the place of Christ will not have any sort of love. Oh, sure, he can perform miracles. In fact, John says his statue is going to talk. But it's a false miracle. Okay? Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring an end to him with the appearance of his coming. Okay. I love that. And then in verse 10 it says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. And that in Greek is literally, so that they will believe the lie. The lie. And that phrase also occurs over in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. I know you're all shuddering. Oh no, he's going to Romans chapter 1. You know, Paul talks about what happened to humanity. And I love this in... Well, I'm actually going to back up, I think, all the way to... Oh, what the heck, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. No one has an excuse, is what Paul's saying, to not believe in God. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and of crawling creatures. So Paul's saying, you know, what happened is you deny the existence of God. And like I was saying earlier, we have to worship something. We have to worship something. So Paul says, I mean, and he's thinking of the Egyptian gods. And if you've never studied other ancient civilizations, the Egyptians had some weird gods. They were usually half animal, half human. They were very strange. It says in verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. And this is the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. So it says here in 2 Thessalonians, God will send among them a deluding influence so that they would believe the lie. Paul says that lie has to do with exchanging God's glory for and worshiping something less. Okay? And then come back with me all the way to the garden. Okay, we kind of talked about this morning. But you'll remember in the garden, who was that crafty creature in the garden?
Satan.
Yes. Satan appeared as a serpent in the garden. And in chapter 3, says he was crafty and all that. So, first of all, he tries to plant some doubt in Eve's mind in verse 1. Has God really said you can't eat from any tree of the garden? And then Eve says, well, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice God did not tell them not to eat from the tree of life. He told them not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. Said, you shall not eat from it or touch it. God never said they couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat from it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. And here's where the lie comes in. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. That's the lie, that we can become gods. And, you know, so much of Eastern religion, so much of New Age religion is all about the God within or the Christ within, or you can be, you know, you can become an ascended master, you can become God. And that's what it's talking about here, that they would believe that they can become God, and ultimately then, you know, a man could become God, you know. And we know with Jesus, it was just the opposite. God became man. It wasn't man becoming God. It was God becoming man. So that, you know, that this happens in verse 12, so that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. And I think that's part of the issue, is so often people don't want to be confronted. mm-hmm. with the truth, because it means they have to change their lives. Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, I can think of many times when God would, you know, give me, you know, show me a scripture and it required a change. And changes.
Oh, because it changes, you know. It's difficult, you know, and you know, it's challenging, and you know, we don't like to be challenged. I can speak for myself. I don't like to be challenged at times. You know, I don't like, you know, to be told you have to do this. And I'm talking about in general. I'm not talking about just God. You know, to be told you need to do this, you need to do that. But you know, as there, that's the only way we really grow in the Lord.
Right.
That's how you grow. You become stronger in Him. And you learn more about him. The more you learn about him, you know, you find yourself that then what seems challenging, you kind of can embrace it with love, because it's God's way of helping you to change. Right. And as you change for the better.
Right.
And you grow in the Lord and you become a stronger Christian, all because of that change.
Yeah, it's part of obedience. I mean, our walk, I can think now, well, like I gave the example earlier about my change in believing when the rapture would take place. But there's other things. My belief in what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't want this tongues thing for a while. You know, until, and, you know, God has such a wonderful sense of humor. The book I read was about Hobart Freeman, who later went off the deep end and kind of became very culty. But it challenged me, and, you know, the Lord knows each of us responds differently. Me, especially if it's something about doctrine, I will dig and dig and dig, and, you know, because I love getting into the Word. I love tearing verses apart, looking at every little, you know, aspect. That's me. That's what I, you know, that's what I like to do.
I'd like to put a plug in, if I may. If people are in need of scripture or want to know where something is, email Pastor Jim. He will provide you scripture. I told my mom the other day that our Pastor Jim, he's like a walking Bible. He's a Hebrew scholar, and he knows the stuff. You know, I don't mean to get off what you were saying, but I wanted you to put that in. I've seen that in your life in the 8 years that I have known you, you know, and it's pretty cool to see that in operation, that I can call you and say, you know where it says such and such, such and such? Oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. And you give me the answer. I go to the Bible, and there it is. When I was not finding it with, you know, on computer things, that you different word searches, I couldn't find what I was needing, but you got it for me.
Right, right. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. But that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, and what about, has that happened with you, Cindy, where you've had those growing pains, I guess?
Oh, sure. I grew up in basically what was a Baptist church, and that particular Baptist church, there was no speaking in tongues, there was no laying on of hands and praying over you, there was no prophecy, no healing, and I was 40 years old before I was introduced to those type of things, the charismatic worship, and it was scary, and I went to a conference, and my friend and I walked up to be prayed for, and all of a sudden the speaker started speaking in tongues and touching people, and they started falling out like crazy, and I headed for the back of the room. Nope, you're not touching me.
You're not coming near me.
You're right, and it was different. It was very, and I have been in situations where that was actually preached again.
Oh yeah.
That it wasn't preached. Oh yes, this is, you know, for, but this is absolutely evil. It's wrong. These things don't exist anymore, and so it took me a while. You know, it was change, and a lot of times it's not so much that we think it's right and wrong, that we're having to change something that that's wrong. It's something that's been ingrained in us.
Right.
Through culture, through society, through family, through the church we grew up in, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, change can be difficult, but it's necessary. And well, it's part of life. It's
yes, God, it, it's all that's gonna it happen. Is. If we don't grow and change, then we just stagnate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, right. and you know, that goes back to that Lauren Daigle song, Dry mm-hmm. Bones.
Right.
What we need to have is an outlook of anticipating and hoping, you know, really anxiously, really mm-hmm. standing on tiptoe expectation of the second coming of the Lord. So mm-hmm. want to play this song, Even So Come by Passion with Christian Sandfield. That's actually my second favorite Second Coming song. We'll be playing my most favorite here as the last song of the hour. Yeah, and I love that song because it's everything we've been talking about. You know, round up the sinners, you know, energize the saints, you know, because we need to have that expectancy. You know, those words for this song come out of the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I actually read them this morning. Even so, come Lord Jesus. You know, even so, come Lord Jesus. And I think, you know, we talked about it this morning. People are so afraid of the book of Revelation. Ooh, it's all bad stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if you read it, there's great songs in there. Mm-hmm. There's incredible imagery and symbolism. We talked about a lot of that this morning. It's not a scary book, especially if you keep two things in mind. Okay? First of all, a lot of it's symbolism. Mm-hmm. You know, I do not expect the Antichrist to have 7 heads and 10 horns. you know, I expect him to be a human.
Be easy to recognize.
He would be easy to recognize. but secondly, okay, I read the last chapter, we win. Right. You know, from the 19th chapter on, it's all about victory. You know, all about how we won. And I think sometimes we just get so scared. You know, it's the end of time. And I know I've shared this before. I grew up next door to some hardcore, well, at least the parents were hardcore Baptists, not so sure about the kids. But what, you know, they basically kind of hung on to that thing in 2 Peter chapter 2 about, you know, the earth dissolving in flame. Mm-hmm. And I know I've told this because I can look back now and it's really quite humorous. I was just a kid and we had got, our city had bought those halogen lamps, the mercury lamps that when it's overcast or foggy, everything looks red, kind of that pinkish red hue. That happened the first, and then of course, you know, they talked about the moon turning to blood. The first time we had a, you know, it was rising, so I don't know if it's a true blood moon. But, you know, when the moon rises sometimes, it's pretty orangey. I was just convinced Jesus has come back, the world's going to be destroyed, I'm going to hell. And I was just a kid. One of the things that obviously changed quite rapidly was when I got saved, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to worry because I know Jesus. I know the one that wrote the book. Okay? I know he's faithful to his word. Yes, I know, according to Scripture, tough times are going to come. Paul writes to Timothy that perilous times are going to come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They'll hold to a form of godliness but deny its power. And, you know, the Revelation, John writes about people dying for the cause of Jesus. And we know that's happening, not here in America, but mm-hmm. certainly across the world, in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia. Yeah. People are suffering and dying because they are Christian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't, I don't want to say it's okay, because it's never okay when somebody is a martyr. But you know what? They're born to a new life. They're born to a new life. And, you know, John, or Jesus through John, says, blessed are those who've suffered in this way. No, yeah, right, Lord. But they, you know, if you do that, you get a crown. You know, you get a crown. And, you know, praise God, we haven't seen that here. But that's not to say it couldn't happen here. You know, I want to make that very plain. So, I want to encourage everybody. We talked about a lot today. We've talked about God calling us back. You know, when we try and run away, how faithful he is there. We've talked a lot about Jesus' second coming, and some of the songs that we've played have really been about just being ready. I mean, I, like I said early on, I feel like the time is really near. I don't know how near. And, you know, we talked in church last week about Peter, a day of the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. So God is kind of above, beyond, outside of time. And, you know, Peter wrote, you know, look, he's not being slow. He wants everybody to get a chance to come to know him. And that's the important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that everybody would come to know Jesus. And we know that not everybody will, but God's will would, you know, he wants everybody to be saved. And but he leaves that final decision up to us. And boy, you know, that astounds me that God would do that. You know, he would leave that decision up to us. But then again, who would want to be worshipped by a bunch of robots? Because that's kind of what it would be like. It's like if we didn't have mind of our own or our own will, it'd be like little robots.
Not worship.
Yeah, it would not be worship at all. It'd be just, you know, it'd be like HAL in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Good morning, God. You know, it'd be kind of like that. But, you know, God wants people, he wants us to do this out of a love for him. I know in my own personal life, and I'm sure, Cindy, this happens to you, it's much better when I worship God because I want to, because I'm really there in the worship, rather than just doing it because I have to.
Oh, sure.
You know, and it's kind of the same thing with our whole life with God. It can be a wonderful adventure. It can be a time of excitement and a real intimate relationship, or it can be a casual acquaintance. And you know, we've talked about earlier about, you know, God kind of being a casual, you know, being in a casual relationship. And as the song that Lauren Daigle did, and even the song we just heard, Even So Come, those days are over. You know, we need to be on fire for God. We need to be ready to do whatever he's called us to. And you know, that I find that kind of scary, because I know there's still some things in my life that need to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, am I the only one here that's not perfect? Okay.
Yes, I think you are.
No, I was typing a poem. I'm sorry. No.
Thank you, Nan.
I realized you were talking to me.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's like, you know.
I wasn't responding. You were talking to me.
We can't let our guard down. We can't get complacent. It's too late for that. I think it's kind of a last scripture for now, before our last song. I do want to read out of Romans chapter 13. Some of my favorite, I think, well, are there any verses that are not my favorite?
No.
Thank you, Nan.
You're welcome, Pastor Jim.
Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 11. Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. And this is an exhortation for everyone who believes. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And Paul was saying, you know what? It's time to stop fooling around. It is seriously time to stop fooling around. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believe, than when we first believed. And I love his example in verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is coming soon. And that's so true, you know. We're right there. I just get the feeling like we're right there, and now is the time to wake up. Mm-hmm. So I want to play this last song. This is my favorite Second Coming of Jesus song of all time. It basically needs no introduction. It is We Shall Behold Him by Sandy Patty.
Oh, we shall be.
oh my.
I love that song.
I do too. I've loved it since the first time I heard it some, what, 35 years ago, perhaps?
I love that song. I've been listening to, obviously, to a lot of Christian music lately, and I was listening. I've probably listened and played that one in my car probably easily 15 times within the last 2 weeks, just getting so caught up with that song. It is a powerful, powerful, powerful song.
And what irony, caught up in the rapture.
There you go.
There you go. And I believe, Nan, you have a poem for us.
I do have a poem. Will you accept this gift for you? I desire to catch you away. Let me reign in your heart. Believe that this is the truth I say. Behold me, little one. I'm on the way for you. Trust this. Believe it to be so. My love for you is so true. You can behold my coming as I'm coming so very soon for you. You can be caught up away with me. Believe that this is so true. I don't editorialize on any poem, and don't think I ever have, but between verses 1 and 2, the person gave their life to God, to Jesus, accepted him as Savior. And that because the way that it was inspired is, I have this gift for you. Do you want it? Then they accepted it, and then the rest of it is in back of that.
Amen. And I think that poem is a good lead-in to... I just want to take some time and pray with our listeners, both those who already know Jesus and perhaps those of you who don't, who maybe just tuned in and heard people talking crazy, thought you'd stay a while. But I do want to, lead you in a prayer. First of all, those of you who don't know Jesus, and what more can we say? That Jesus gave his life for you. More than that, he rose from the dead, and he's coming back as king. First time he came as suffering servant. This next time he's coming back as king. And every knee will bow, voluntarily or involuntarily, to the lordship of Jesus. It's much, much, much better to do it voluntarily. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because you begin that journey with him, with the one who created you, the one who loves you, the one who has a plan. And you might say, well, it's too late in my life for that. No. No, 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 no. God can start and finish something. I mean, he created the world in 6 days. He can certainly make your life and fulfill his purpose in you in no time at all. So, Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that those who are out there who maybe don't know you, who maybe have never had the opportunity or felt that they needed to know you, Father, I pray that you would open up their hearts. And if God is working on you, if God is saying, you know what, here I am, I'm knocking, I love you, I want to come into your life, if you just pray this prayer with me, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the risen Son of God, and I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you went to the cross and died for me, that your shed blood purchased my salvation. I confess that I have sinned against you, but I now confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me from all sin and make me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and guide and direct me. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I lift up those who maybe have backslid, who maybe are just grown complacent. Maybe they think that they've done something, Lord, that you cannot use them because of it. Maybe because of something they believe themselves to be. Well, Father, I lift up a prayer for those people too. I pray, Lord God, you would break through, that your love would truly break through. Father, manifest yourself to them. Draw them back to yourself. Oh, Father, just show them your love. Show them, Father. Bring them back. Those who knew you once. We pray, Lord God, that they will indeed know you again. Oh, Father, we give you glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you prayed either of those prayers, you know, whether you're coming to Jesus for the first time or the 15th, email me and let me know, because I'd like to be able to talk with you, to give you some encouragement. And again, my email address is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. And I just pray that you will grow in grace, as Paul loves to say that, just grow in grace. It's so important. And God, I cannot remind you enough, God loves you so much. The Father loved you so much that he gave his only son for you. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right. Well, we'll do final thoughts. And we'll start with Cindy. Any final thoughts on everything we've talked about today?
I think the current climate in our nation, and therefore the world, should spur us to action, even if it's just in our own lives, to be ready.
Amen.
It's troubling, it's chaotic, but we have an anchor, and it's more and more important daily to cling to that anchor.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's so true, especially. Well, that verse popped into my head about men's hearts failing them for fear. Mm-hmm. Without an anchor, we're tossed.
Right.
You know, we're just tossed about. And yet, that's right, the writer of Hebrews says we have hope as an anchor. You know, keep us from drifting around or drifting out to sea or whatever. We have hope for an anchor. And thank you, Cindy. It's been great having you on the show. I love doing the show with you too, by the way.
Thank you.
I think this is the second time we've done it, actually. The three of us, if I recall.
Not sure.
I think it might be.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's the second time the three of us. And it's just great. We've got such a little chemistry going on here. So Nan, final thoughts.
Final thoughts is a poem I wrote a little bit earlier in the show. Calling you back. I'm calling you back to me. Of your binds, you can be set free. You thought that running away would be fun, but now you feel spent. You feel done. I love you with all of my heart. Turn to me, of a renewed life start. The decision is yours. What will it be? Will you return to living for me? I love you. You will be okay. Look to me and sincerely pray. Your life will feel so sweet. Of me, will you decide to meet? I love you.
Oh, that's nice.
I love you. So,
well, that's true, and that's where a lot of this went today. Go ahead, Nan.
I want to say something. I lost my glasses.
When?
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I found my glasses. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Everything, because my glasses are a mess. The lens is out. The nose things are flattened out. I've stepped on them is what happened. And it's a mess. It's a mess. And I have the best eyeglass guy in the area. And he can turn my messes. He can fix them. He's fixed them before. He'll probably fix them again. But I'm going to take these to him tomorrow. He's going to fix them. And just like Ed can fix my glasses, that's such a mess, so can God fix the messes that people have made in their lives. That they were running. They don't know what they're running from. Sometimes they're just running. It's time to stop.
It's time to stop and let God just love on you a little bit. And he'll clean you up. You don't come to him cleaned up. You go to him and he cleans you up.
Amen.
You know, so I just want to encourage people to when they think of my glasses and what a mess they're in. And Ed is going to be able to fix my glasses and I'll be able to wear them again. So, you know.
Amen. Amen. That is so true, you know. Yeah, there's an illustration I love was by Corrie Ten Boom. Where we tend to see the backside of the tapestry that God's making of our lives. And if you've ever seen the backside of any like cross stitch or anything, it's a mess. All right. There's tangles and threads going everywhere. And yet you turn it over and you see the tapestry and it's beautiful. Sometimes we only see the mess, but God sees the beautiful, and that's, you know, that's a great thing. So, again, this is Associate Pastor Jim Ellsbury with Beacon of Hope Ministries. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Especially want to thank Nan Watson for joining me here in the studio and Cindy Henderson for joining me all the way from Idaho. And, yes, I was not going to forget our wonderful engineer, Pete, you know, for helping us out. And I just want to remind everybody quickly about our prayer ministry, prayers at bohmglobal.com. Please send us your prayer requests. Again, if you are in the Clearwater area, feel free to join us 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury signing off and telling you to remember, it's not far to Jesus. Thank you all.
His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for